Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The remaining public payphone kiosks are increasingly seen as unsightly and a blight on the landscape, with many turning into sites of vandalism and antisocial behaviour. So why are some still on our streets and what can be done with them? Well, Brian O'Connell has been looking at this for us. We had a lot of these in their heyday, Brian.
And they took a fair chunk of change off me, I can tell you. In every city, town and village really in the country, many street corners had a public payphone or a kiosk. At one point, if you can believe, we had 6,000 public payphones in the country. So most of them, the vast majority, are now gone. And there are calls for those small numbers that are left, the ones that aren't operational, to be dismantled, to be taken away. There have been some attempts to put them to use, Claire. Some of them advertising spots, some of them as small libraries, some of them have been used to store community defibrillators, for example. And I suppose aside from the advent of the mobile phone, which really was the beginning of the end for the fixed location payphone, the big change was ComReg decided as well a universal service provision, which had been with AIR, was no longer needed. So really what that meant was that an obligation to provide public payphones was no longer needed. So this basically left it up to the company who owned them, or indeed the local authority, to decide what to do with them.
And most of them have been removed, or they're being removed.
I think especially in the past 2 years, there's been this huge progress, because a lot of them, you'll have noticed, are in a very poor state of repair. Maintenance has obviously ended. They were costing a really significant amount of money to maintain and to clean. But having said that, there are places around the country where a small percentage remain, and they're in quite prominent positions. There's one on Patrick Street in Cork, for example, the main street in our second city. Two of them remain. They're very badly vandalised. I've put a picture up on Instagram this morning. I met with Cork Lord Mayor Dan Boyle outside these phone boxes on Patrick Street just to ask, why are they still there given how bad they look?
We had about two dozen public phone boxes in the city centre. We've removed about half of those. There's been a lot of changes. AIR changing from a semi-state into a private company. The regulator taking away the public service obligation. Discussions have been ongoing that about eight are necessary, and planning is being considered for new revamped phones, of which this will be one of those sites.
It would actually be a phone box.
Strangely enough, while the usage has decreased, the major use of the existing phone boxes has been emergency situations. And it provides an outlet for people who can't use personal phones or in a home setting. And it's thought to be still a necessary part of public infrastructure to have a set number available.
And who will pay for them?
Well, because it's a public service obligation, there'll have to be some state subvention involved in it. The boxes aren't the one company anymore, so the tenders would be going out to several different phone companies, and the maintenance and management would be part of those contracts.
It has taken a long time, Dan, to get rid of them, hasn't it?
It has.
We're looking at these two here. We're on the main thoroughfare. Tourists are arriving. Maybe it's the first thing they see. Mm. And it's full of graffiti. Like, they're really unsightly.
The ones that have been removed are the ones that are not going to be future sites. The ones that are left, which are a handful, are the ones that are going through the planning process. The delay has been caused by some of the property ownership issues. Who can access the patch around ground in and around them? How can they be removed? There's a kind of a legal rigmarole that has to be gone through at each of these sites. But we're overcoming most of them. I'd be confident that with the planning process, we should see these gone and any new boots going up within the 12 months. Does provide a source in particular situations for people in emergencies.
So domestic abuse situations, yeah. Course of control situations.
Indeed.
It's difficult to cast our minds back to the heyday of the public payphone, isn't it? When you'd have queues outside of these payphone boxes and you'd be trying to pretend that you rang someone as opposed to them ringing you back very quickly.
And we were all master tappers. Button A and button B. Of their day and of their time, they had a value use. A restricted number of them in key locations will continue to have a certain use.
So it does sound like some of those phone boxes, Brian, they could get a new lease of life.
Well, I was surprised to hear that, to be honest. I asked AIR about this and they said due to a sharp decline in demand, they've announced the removal of the remaining payphones in Ireland last year. They say five payphones remain in Cork. They are due for removal, but this is subject to local authority permission. And at their peak, as they said, there was about 6,000. They did mention that they had partnered with EasyGo to repurpose some of them into rapid electric vehicle charging stations, so quite a good use for them. So they have 109 EV charging points across 89 locations over the past number of years. So that was obviously a very inventive way to turn them into good use.
You mentioned the heyday of the payphone earlier, but one man you spoke to has a passion for the older phone boxes.
Well, Paul Murphy, who's known as Phone Box Man, he's been restoring and collecting old phone boxes and selling them for many years. So the older ones, the concrete-based ones, they have actually become collector's items, not so much the ones we see left now, which are more aluminium type. But he agrees, Paul Murphy agrees, we should remove the newer ones as soon as we can if a new purpose can't be found. I had a chat with him, Claire, and I began by asking him about the very first payphone boxes in Ireland that he's aware of.
They claim to be in a phone box on O'Connell Street for the Eucharistic Congress in 1932. That's the first one that I could find a record of.
When was their golden era?
I would say in the 70s. Every village wanted one. In the 60s, your parish was a parish when you got the phone box in. Really, they became totally redundant. The ones that I got involved with is the precursor to the aluminium ones that with the last generation we've seen in the cities and around the place. They're bringing out a newer version of that now, which is it's got a phone in it and a touch screen for tourists to find out what's on in the area. And it's mainly an advertising hoarding.
And maybe the ability to make an emergency phone call if you
there
need
is,
to.
There is the ability to make a phone call with a credit card, yeah. The romance isn't there from, because I'm of an age that's probably too young to have used the aluminium ones, but they just, when they started coming in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, they were on the way out. And that was the reality of it. But I still love to see that the old ones coming back in. And there's still one of the K1s, the original ones in Fox Rock. It doesn't have a phone. It's good. They're using it as a library.
And how much are they going for, Paul? Say a restored concrete old phone box.
Let me see. 8,950 fully restored.
Wow.
And I could sell as many as I could get at this stage, but I just can't get them anymore.
When you see the aluminium ones being taken down now, pretty much all over the country, doesn't pain your heart as much, does it?
No, they don't have the character. But then again, they're part of history, and you know.
And people have an attachment to them. You
absolutely. Might have
one at the end of your street, and you remember calling a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or you remember your parents calling when you were away or whatever.
The aluminium ones, people will miss them for the memories, I suppose. Yeah.
What's the one you're looking for? What's the one you'd love to get your hands on?
Oh, I'd love to get that K1 in Fox Rock, but people would know where I got it.
Yeah, he better not go to Fox Rock now for that, because we know exactly who did it. That's Paul Murphy, the phone box man. Brian, someone has suggested in a text message that we turn them into toilets. Can you see a couple of problems there with that suggestion?
You know, the awful thing is they kind of are toilets at the moment, unofficially. Gosh. You know, you can see the state of the ones on Patrick Street. I was really surprised at that. And businesses are calling for them to be taken away because they are a bit of a blight on the landscape. But they're a little bit tight for a toilet, aren't
they're
they,
a bit
Claire?
Tight, yeah, and a bit see-through in their current state.
I've told this story before. My mum used to have the phone number of the one on Paul Street in Cork, and maybe on a Saturday at 3 o'clock she'd ring it, and that's how we'd communicate. I mean, it feels like a different era, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And I think I've told you as well about not putting money into the phone, because we had that system where if the phone rings in the house three times, it's me and can you come and collect it? You know, never paid a penny.
We're so old, Claire.
We're so old. Brian, thanks so much. All that's our reporter, Brian O'Connell there. It's still to come in the next hour. The secrets in the vault of the Vatican Bank. Adam Maguire brings us the story of the world's most secretive financial institution. And Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven ask if there's a mental health crisis in our third level institutions. Coming up next, though, we're going to learn how to wear the clothes that you already have in your wardrobe.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.